I had a wonderful opportunity when I was in my late teens and early 20s that I was really involved with scouts, and I worked summer camp staff at SBRF Scout Ranch for about 6 or 7 summers. And I got to meet two of the most interesting and crazy people that I've ever met, Bob Hammack and Mark Littell. I don't know, for those of you who are Cardinal baseball fans, that name might sound familiar. He was, at one point, one of their relievers. He was a pretty good left-handed pitcher. By the way, he's the type of guy that if you ever get into an egg fight with, just run, you're dead. He had a killer left, let me tell you, even though he'd had surgery on there a number of times. But the reason I mention those guys is, and the reason they stood out for me and made such an impression on me when I was growing up, is that even though they were pretty much the guy that was in charge of the camp staffs that I was on, and both of them were there for 2 or 3 years apiece, is that on Saturdays, before the campers would show up on Sunday, you know, after one group left and the other ones, we would jump on the truck and we would do what was called a truck run, which meant basically we had to shift equipment, tents and cots and all these things from campsite to campsite. And at times it could be quite an undertaking. But those two men, and, you know, I hate to admit it, but at the time, now that I'm in my 50s, you know, I look at it a little bit differently. But I always thought it was so cool when I was in my early to late teens that, you know, these two old guys would get out on the truck with us and move all this stuff. And I didn't realize that really one of the most important lessons that they were teaching me was this idea is that leaders lead by example. And in a way, that's kind of what we're seeing Jesus do today. You know, in this idea of him becoming baptized, you know, by John the Baptist, who in and of himself is a really interesting guy. I mean, come on. He dressed crazy. He hung out in the desert and ate bugs. You know, and he came in and people from all over the place were, you know, they would come in and they were getting this baptism from him. And, you know, I'd always wondered about that and why. And I was looking up some things in it, you know, I was doing a little bit of research. And I think, you know, the most interesting way of looking at it was that I think what John the Baptist did was that he was able to deliver, you know, and people back in Jesus' day weren't all that different from us, a message of hope, you know, a message of forgiveness. I mean, yeah, he was fierce, but in a way, he was also very, very gentle when he was dealing with people. You know, and he reached in and he kind of brushed up against something that I think makes everybody's teeth itch a little bit, and that's that we need help. You know, he knew that each and every one of us are kind of, you know, we know all of the bad stuff that we do. We know the times when we fall away and don't do the things that we ought. And he was able to tell people that, look, there's this guy coming. There's this God out there who's willing to forgive us despite all of that and to work with us. And I think that's why people came to see him. So that when Jesus shows up, the guy he's been talking about, the man who he's been talking about, and we hear that, you know, this exchange in the gospel, you know, where John's trying to tell him, say, I need to be baptized to you, and yet you're coming. I think what Jesus is doing is the exact same thing that, you know, those two leaders that Bob and Mark were doing for us, and that was showing us that, you know, hey, okay, I might be in charge, but I'm willing to go through the same type of things that you have to. And in many ways, when we look at the incarnation of the second person of the Holy Trinity of Jesus Christ, that's really what he's doing. He came down to share in our lives and to share in the difficulties and to share in the things that we would face. You know, and when we look at it, I think really what Jesus is showing us, you know, in this notion that he was willing to be baptized just like us, is that he's willing to say, you know, basically, I've got your back. You know, even though the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us through our baptism, Jesus is basically beginning and showing us what his public ministry would be about. You know, and he's also helping to overcome a lot of our shortcomings and to show us that even though life is going to be difficult, which for him culminates in you know, that moment of his passion and death, they all lead to that notion of a resurrection. So even though life can be difficult, he's showing us, even ahead of time, that it can be good. And I think what this does is it gives us an opportunity, you know, to recommit to what happened to us in our baptisms. Now, I'm sure that many of you here, you know, as cradle Catholics, and we see this, you know, from time to time here on Sundays, you know, when a baby comes in and gets baptized, you know, the interesting thing is that the child really doesn't know what's going on. You know, they're being brought into, they're giving that grace so that God can become a part of who they are. And that doesn't happen by accident. But, you know, even as someone who entered the church a little bit later, I mean, in my early 20s is when I actually became Catholic. And I can say pretty much the same thing. On that night that in the Easter Vigil, when I was brought into the church, I really had, at that point, no clue of really what was going on. I mean, intellectually, I knew that, you know, I was being baptized, and it was provisional because we believe they used the right formulas and all that stuff when I was a kid, but I was being brought into the church. I was officially being made a member of God's family and being given a gift that, I mean, I really didn't understand. So what today does, this idea of remembering on the first, by the way, it is the first day of ordinary time. And no, ordinary in this case does not mean boring or mundane. You know, what the church is saying, you know, ordinary time is a way of saying ordinal in Latin, which means numbered. Doesn't mean it's less important, it's just a way of keeping track. This is the first Sunday of ordinary time. And it gives us a chance, you know, on this first day, on the start of the regular liturgical year, it gives us a chance to enter into those baptismal promises, you know, to enter into and to accept, maybe in a new way, you know, those gifts which God gave us. Or maybe it even gives us an opportunity to look for those gifts, to be able to say, okay, God, where am I turning my back on you? Where am I not allowing you to become a deeper part of my life and help me to become the person that you want me to be? You know, and it's an interesting thing. You know, our baptism really is, brothers and sisters, it's a never-ending call to follow Jesus. And if you want to know what that call was meant to look at our first reading. You know, go online, take a look at that first reading, and look at what Isaiah was saying. Those were all the promises that were made to us by God before Jesus came. They're the ones that Jesus came to fulfill, and they're the ones, those same promises are the ones that are made to and are being kept by us if we're willing to be open to God and to the graces, you know, that we received at our own baptisms. So, you know, today, this first day of the liturgical year of ordinary time gives us an opportunity to renew our commitment to Christ. So, you know, let's just kind of ask ourselves over the next week or so, you know, is what can we do to kind of reaffirm or to touch base again with that call, with that great gift that we've been given in our own baptism? What more can we do to use the great gift that that Jesus and that God has given us? You know, just kind of think about that and see, okay, maybe I can do things a little bit different in this new year.